Want to remind you, too, if you're an unhappy timeshare owner, you went on a vacation, you're having the time of your life, somebody says you can duplicate this every year for the rest of your life, and then you never end up going back. And then you realize, there are other nice places I could go to, and I could better use that money, but every year you got to pay the maintenance fees and whatever other fees associated with it. You wish you never did it. Well, there's a way out, thanks to my friends at Lone Star Transfer, Brian and Karen. They run a family-owned business. They will make sure that your experience is a pleasant one. They will get you out of your timeshare legally, ethically, and quickly. I have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and this is what they do. Don't let another year go by and you're paying all this money for a timeshare you're never going to use. Now, two ways to get them. Online at LoneStarTransfer.com, all right? Or give my friends a call, no obligation. Call #250 on your mobile, keyword timeshare. Just hit #250 on your mobile phone, say the keyword timeshare, or just go to LoneStarTransfer.com. All right, glad you're with us. Happy Friday. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. Want to give a heads up to our stations all across the Sean Hannity Show Network. The president is down by the border, expected to have a meeting. And when that happens, we will bring that to you. So please stay with us. We have a lot of other news we're going to get to. I will tell you, though, it is shocking to me how many people have to die. How many drug deaths, overdose deaths does it take to say, wow, we got a crisis? How many violent deaths? And I'm very clear. I actually believe in immigration, legal immigration. I have no problem with it. I'm the beneficiary of it. My four grandparents coming into this country, I have, when they arrived at Ellis Island in New York, I actually have the original documents framed, or a copy of the original documents framed. I save it, and it's in my office at home where I like it, so I can look at it, and it reminds me where I came from, and it reminds me how in all of my life that this country has given so much to me and to my family. And when they got here, they had it so rough. And many of you share the same story. They were poor. I mean, dirt poor. Nothing. Had to, you know, fight through a depression, joined up, fought in wars for this country. Many people in my family. And they loved this country. They loved what this country offered, freedom and opportunity that they weren't being afforded where they came from, in Ireland at the time. And so many other people have the same story. We're not a perfect country. Never have been. But there's not been a greater country ever created by man that has accumulated more power, as my friend Barry Farber would say, and abused it less. And I add to that, there's never been a country that has created as much power as this country and used that power to advance the human condition and the cause of liberty and freedom. Now, have we made mistakes? Yeah. You know, everything in creation is perfect except for human beings. We're the only imperfect part of creation. And I love arguing with atheists about issues like, oh, well, okay, so you don't believe there's any God. Like an agnostic will say, well, there may be a God. They at least leave it as an open question. An atheist, no God. I'm like, okay, so no creator. Yeah. Well, okay, then how did... You know, we now, science has brought us to the point where we can identify universes within universes within universes within universes into eternity. And we keep going further and we keep seeing more as science and technology advances our ability to look out into the universes. You know, and you take, so you have to, yeah, as an atheist, you kind of have to believe. This is my thinking on it. Okay, so I don't even think the Big Bang Theory is necessarily incompatible with creation. Because, okay, let's say you're an atheist. Then the next logical question would be, all right, so we had a Big Bang, all of this collision of all of the massive amount of energy that would cause this creation, which is frankly beyond human understanding. It's that deep. I mean, it's hard for human beings to even understand something as simple as a butterfly with all its majesty and all of, you know, its details and its life cycle, it's kind of hard to, I don't think we're designed to wrap our intellectual minds around how vast and how, frankly, awesome and majestic this all is. But then I'll ask them, and I'll ask Sato and Atheist, well, okay, well, where did the energy come from that just randomly banged together and formed perfect order in terms of the sun and the stars and the planets and the universes and gravity from the Earth's smallest creatures, a little baby ant, up to the more complicated rhinoceros, lions and tigers, giraffes and bears, oh my. And then we also have the moon and the sun and the stars and Mars, and you get the point. Venus, Saturn. I don't know, one of the things, every once in a while I go on these kicks where I just start looking into a telescope that I bought a long time ago. I mean, it just still fascinates me whenever I look at the moon. You see those nights when the moon is so bright and you stand there and you're looking at it and you're like, wow. You know, what audacity. I mean, this shows man's capacity for greatness, that people right here on Earth look at that moon, and you can see the craters if you have a good telescope, and you look at the craters and you think, okay, I'm going to fly there. We're going to land and then we're going to come back. And they did it more than once. It's amazing. The only thing imperfect, though, is mankind, which fits into the biblical story. Look, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent here. I'm just saying this country, the world needs the United States. The world needs a strong United States of America. The world needs a United States with moral clarity and strength that understands the challenges and evil in our time. You know, there are big elections coming up in Israel. What about a week? What, it's April the...
April 9th.
April 9th. Okay, that's 4 days from now. You know, all throughout the 20-plus years I've known Prime Minister Netanyahu, he hasn't really changed. He has been at times the sole voice on the world stage that has been able, that has had the moral clarity of this time to identify the evil in our time and express it and be ridiculed and hated and his entire country hated at times because he sees things for what they are, not the way we want to see them. And that's why he's been a Churchillian figure in my mind. To lose him on the world stage to me would be a disaster. And for the first time in the United States, he actually has a president, unlike the last president, that has the same clarity and understands the nature of the threat, because there's this whole other mindset, mentality, which is called appeasement, that actually thinks it's the best way to make peace with North Korea, like Bill Clinton did, is let's bribe North Korea and Kim Jong-il, who is Kim Jong-un's father, and it's a good deal for the American people. No nuclear weapons. Yeah, okay, a lot of good that did. But the president, this president, took a different choice. Little rocket man, fire and fury, my button's bigger than yours, and you can keep doing it. I'm taking the rockets out of the air. Your choice. Okay, we haven't had rockets fired in 16 months or so. Taking the same approach, you know, he's not going to land $150 billion in cash and other currency on a tarmac of radical Islamic mullahs that chant death to America, death to Israel, burn the American flag, burn the Israeli flag. No, this president's not going to do that. So we actually have a partnership. And we're actually hitting a point in time where there might be a moment here where we can thread a needle and make something that was unthinkable just a few short years ago a reality. Because as the Sunni countries, as you know, you see a new alliance, not only between the United States, Trump, and the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, but now you have Jordan and you have Egypt, Jordan under King Abdullah. You have Egypt under General al-Sisi. You have the Emirates, putting aside the Khashoggi issue and all of the treatment of women and gays and Christians and Jews that are persecuted in Saudi Arabia. I have real problems with Saudi Arabia, big time. But aligned against Iranian hegemony, where we could actually have a real peace in the world, the added pressure of America now becoming energy independent is the greatest feat for our national security. And we could have been doing this forever. We're finally energy independent for the first time in 70 years and now a net exporter of energy. And because the president has opened ANWR and approved the Dakota pipeline, Keystone pipeline, well, we're creating millions of jobs in the process, high paying career jobs, and we're energy independent. Now we're a net exporter of energy. And then you have the added bonus that some of these countries that we've imported oil from over the years, we don't need their oil. We don't need their energy ever. That's good for our national security. That also puts Putin, the hostile actor that he is, and the hostile regime that is Russia, in check also. Because the more we produce, the more we're going to be able to share that with our Western European allies, our NATO allies. And that will lead to a more stable world, because love it, hate it, believe it, don't believe it, it is the lifeblood of the world, energy of every single economy, which then also puts into light the idiocy of the new Green Deal that would get rid of all oil and gas within 10 years, the combustion engine and cows because of flatulence and CO2 emissions into the atmosphere and airplanes. Great. Get ready. Jump in a sailboat the next time you want to go to Europe. Good luck with that. Or maybe they'll build the high-speed train across the pond. Only question will it be above water or underwater? I'm sure that's only going to take maybe 2 years, right, to build that. How are you going to get to Asia? How are we going to get to Australia, New Zealand? So there's a battle for the soul of this country right now and a battle for the soul, frankly, in the world. And there's a lot at stake. A lot of it has to do with what we do as a country. A lot of it has to do with, you know, whether or not Americans, I mean, you look at the economic growth today, higher than expected job growth, defying predictions again with President Trump. You know what? Another 200,000 jobs. I'll take that. We have more jobs available in America than we have people on unemployment. Over a million jobs available right now. A million more jobs than we have people on unemployment. Canada's economy, by the way, is actually losing jobs. Might have to do with the fact that the president kept another promise. You know, we had the worst trade deals because we never demanded better trade deals. This president, they believe him. So they give us a better deal that helps American farmers, that helps American manufacturers, that helps American cars. You know, now we have China helping. They're not letting their country produce fentanyl anymore because it's pissing us off. And the Chinese president sounds like he's going to come to Mar-a-Lago, maybe get a good trade deal, maybe end that imbalance. If the president didn't fight for it, we wouldn't get it. But he fights too much on Twitter. It's not presidential. Oh, my gosh. Where's your focus? Where are your priorities? All right. We're watching when the president speaks. He's at the border. We'll get to that. Hey, if you're one of 34 million Americans that smokes, you know what a hassle it can be. For me, I'm out playing golf and I come back smelling like cigars. It's the smell on your hands and your breath, your clothes. But now, thanks to Juul, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Juul is a vaporizer. It does contain nicotine for a satisfying transition. Now, when I found Juul, it was a complete game changer in my life. I don't smoke any cigars any longer, and Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to whatever it is you're smoking. So if you're one of 34 million adults who do smoke cigars, cigarettes, pipe, whatever, well, there is an alternative to all of them. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's like nothing you've ever tried, just visit JUUL.com/switchamerica. That's JUUL.com/switchamerica. Now, warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is addictive. You know, dealing with real problems and real solutions makes a difference. The president's going to speak at this border security roundtable, and when he does, we're going to bring that to you as we continue the Sean Hannity Show. You know, it's very odd to try and figure out some liberals. It really is. I mean, the idea, I'm watching the rant of Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, and I'm like, okay, this is insane because we got another apocalyptic prediction from her. Then I'm watching Biden. I mean, he never said the words, I'm sorry, when he gave that stupid video, you know, video answer of his. I get it.
And Uncle Joe Biden, yeah, the creepy close stalker.
No, he's more creepy and crazy, but anyway, that's besides the point. So he gives that public speech, his first public speech earlier today since the Gropegate scandal broke. And creepy Uncle Joe actually tried to make fun of what are now seven women who say that he subjected them to unwanted physical contact. And by the way, I believe in due process, presumption of innocence. All I'm saying is what I see is creepy to me. And most people I know feel the same way. And he says, I just want you to know I had permission to hug Lonnie. As the audience laughed, Biden then added, well, I don't know, man, a comment that seemed to suggest his accusers had overreacted to, let's see, hair sniffing, grabbing and groping and pulling in, lip kissing, neck nuzzling, rubbing noses with, holding on too long, that sort of thing. And then later during the speech, Biden made a second joke about the issue when kids joined him on stage. And by the way, he gave me permission to touch him as his hand draped around this boy's shoulder. Both instances now, the crowd responded to Biden with laughing and cheers. I guess many others, though, interpreted it as an attempt to minimize the accounts of seven women who have accused him of touching and kissing that, you know, like it creeped me out. Like, I can't even remember Michael Jackson, all the crap he said. Tuck him into bed. It's just some people are so weird. But the biggest problem he has running for president is his failed record with Barack Obama. Then he has his own stupid statements. Then he has the Anita Hill and the integration issue that he has to deal with. He's got a lot of problems. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Oh, I forgot to mention this, and the president will be speaking. He's down at the border again today, pointing out that, yeah, this is not a manufactured crisis, a real crisis. This, but the latest example, the Louisiana Attorney General, Jeff Landry is his name, announcing the arrest of an undocumented immigrant accused of more than 100 counts of child sex crimes. Miguel Martinez, 44, arrested, 100 counts of possession of pornography involving juveniles under the age of 13. One count of production under the age of 13, one count of sexual battery of a juvenile under the age of 13. Landry says Martinez was living in Harvey, Louisiana, illegally, previously deported in 2005, also a registered sex offender in California. And Landry said on a post on Twitter, illegal immigration has real life consequences. Countless numbers of needless crimes, including too many Louisiana families and children. It's time to join at POTUS on Twitter and demanding action on our southern border. All right, the meeting with the president, I think, is about to begin. We'll go to that when it happens. You know, if you look at the top 30 federal district courts, CNS News picked this up. What they found was, well, one is the Western District of Texas, two, the Southern District of Texas, the Southern District of California, the Southern District in Arizona, District of New Mexico, and it goes on from there. So what of the five federal court districts that sit along the U.S.-Mexico border, well, they were the top five districts in the country for the number of defendants that they convicted and sentenced to imprisonment in fiscal 2018, according to data published by the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts. Now, the U.S. District Court for Western District of Texas, they ranked number one, convicting 8,179 criminal defendants and sentenced 7,126 of them to imprisonment in the last fiscal year. That's followed by the Southern District of Texas. In that particular case, they had 6,140 criminal defendants and 5,939 of them sentenced to imprisonment just last year. Same with the Southern District of California, 5,723 criminal defendants, 5,470 were imprisoned. The District of Arizona, 4,731 criminal defendants, 4,378 sent to prison. Combined jurisdictions of these five, just five, federal district courts cover the U.S.-Mexico border from the Pacific to the Gulf of Mexico. 94 federal court districts. The other five U.S. district courts that rounded out the top 10 were the Southern District of Florida, the Northern District of Texas, the Middle District of Florida, the Southern District of New York, and the Central District of California. You look at the numbers, 7,126 criminals convicted and sentenced to imprisonment by the Western District of Texas fiscal 18, were more than five times the 1,283 convicted and sentenced to imprisonment by the Southern District of New York. I mean, you know, I mean, for every single one of those statistics is a story. There are victims. There are families. You know, when you have a 2-year period and you can chronicle by criminal illegal immigrants 4,000 homicides, 30,000 plus sexual assaults, and 100,000 violent assaults, at what point do you say it's a crisis? How many people have to die? How many people have to die from a heroin overdose? Of around 300 people every week dying. It's predictable as the day is long. 90% of that comes across that border. Fentanyl, another big issue, that comes across the border. It was such a big issue with the president and his talks with China that China has now pledged to stop the production of all fentanyl because some of that is making it. By the way, the president has landed and now entered the room where he is now about to speak. It's a, you know, well, some people, why don't you go see the children? Because the president wants to solve the problem. This is where you solve the problem. The men and women on the ground that will inform him of what is happening every day instead of a photo op. Maybe you'll do that later, but now it's important to get to know what the facts are on the ground. Anyway, the president is about to speak. He sat down. Let's go to this happening live.
It's a great honor, and I'll be here many times. We're building a lot of wall. We're going to look at a piece of it today, and I was just told that it had a tremendous impact already. The piece that we're going to be looking at, but we have under contract and under construction. We have a lot of things happening, and we expect to have close to 400 miles done within about 2 years from now. That's a lot. 400 miles will cover most of it. I just want to thank everybody for being here. We have some of our great people from the state, and of all places, it's California, and we love California, but those people wanted us to build wall, and we got it built, including the wall in San Diego, which is pretty much completed, and it's had a tremendous impact. That wall has had, Kevin, a tremendous impact. So I want to thank the Border Patrol Station in Calexico, and it's been a great group of people. I just met them backstage, and the way you work is pretty incredible, and the job you do is beyond belief. We have a system that's full. It's just full. And I was telling some of the people before, if it's full, there's nothing you can do about it. We have some horrible court decisions that have been made over the years. It's very unfair, and that's the way it is. But the system is full. And when it's full, there's nothing you can do. You have to say, I'm sorry, we can't take you. We've been trying to take people, and I have to disagree with it. We've been trying to take people, and you can't do it. You can't do it. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at it very, very strongly. I'd like to thank Secretary Nielsen for being here, General Semonite, Chief of the Army Corps of Engineers, for being here. Thank you very much. It's been fantastic, the job you've done. And you're going to be speaking later on and explaining exactly what's happening with the wall and how much. In fact, we're going to be doing some of it now, I think. Probably a better time to do it. Commissioner Kevin McAleenan of our group, we have spent a lot of time together. And Kevin, you're doing a great job. And thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it. California Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez, we appreciate very much, Melissa. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd, been a friend of mine for a long time, and making a lot of progress, Brandon. And I'll tell you, we're really making progress in letting people know that this is an absolute emergency. I see that some of our biggest opponents over the last 2 days have said, you know what, it really is an emergency. They can't believe what's happening. And part of it is because of the fact that the country is doing so well. And part of it's just a scam. People want to come in, and they shouldn't be coming in. They shouldn't be coming in. And they're people that are causing problems, and gang members, and lots of others. And we're getting them out. We're stopping them for the most part, but we're getting them out when they do get in. And nobody's done the job we've done. National Border Patrol Council President, so I want to thank you very much. You've been fantastic. And several members of law enforcement, I want to also thank Leader Kevin McCarthy, came in from Washington with us today. He's been an amazing leader. The relationship is the best we've ever had, I think, as Republicans. The unification, the unified nature of what we're doing has been really something very special, and I want to thank Kevin very much. You're doing a fantastic job. I appreciate it. And I think you and your group are going to be leading the charge in getting rid of some of these horrible loopholes that everybody knows is pretty bad, whether it's catch and release or whether it's a visa lottery. So many of them. Chain migration is a total disaster. The asylum laws are broken. They're totally broken. And look, I inherited this stuff, and we're going to get it fixed. We have to. So, Kevin, I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate you leading the charge. I also want to state that there is indeed an emergency on our southern border. It's been loud and clear. We're in court, and a lot of people aren't even bringing too many of the suits anymore. A lot of people are going to bring a suit. It's pretty hard for them to say there's not an emergency. We have a big emergency at our southern border. The United States had more than 70,000 illegal migrants rush our border. They rush our border, and we have military, and these are great military people. These are people that are strong and solid and love our country, but they can't act the way they would under other conditions. And there's not a lot they can do, but they've been doing it anyway. And we're going to bring up some more military. And I want to also thank Mexico, because Mexico, and I'm totally willing to close the border, but Mexico, of the last 4 days, has done more than they've ever done. We were talking about that before, Kevin. They're apprehending people now by the thousands and bringing them back to their countries, bringing them back to where they came from. And I think you see that. That's at their southern border. And that's a big difference. That'll help us, you know, pretty much 90%, 80%. What do you think, fellas? Pretty close, right? But that's a big difference. They've never done that before. I mean, and when I say never done, I mean like in 30 years, they've never done it like they're doing it right now. So the crisis is a direct result of the obstruction by Democrats in Congress, and we have to do something about it, and we're going to. And I think a lot of the Democrats feel that way, too. I think they feel it. They see it. There's not much they can do. But to say, wow, what was that I just saw on television? Since October, agents along the 70-mile stretch of border here in El Centro Sector have seen a nearly 400% increase in family units arriving in the sector. And you compare that with other years, pretty amazing. But what we've done and what we're doing, you're going to see some very, very strong results. And as soon as the barriers or the walls, I like calling them walls, because that's what they are, go up, you're going to have a tremendous impact. Where we are going to be in a little while, I've heard from people in that area that the impact has been incredible. It's a colossal surge, and it's overwhelming our immigration system, and we can't let that happen. So, as I say, and this is our new statement, the system is full, can't take you anymore. Whether it's asylum, whether it's anything you want, it's illegal immigration, can't take you anymore. We can't take you. Our country is full, our area is full, the sector is full. Can't take you anymore. I'm sorry. Can't happen. So turn around. That's the way it is. If you look at our southern border.
All right, to all our affiliates across the Sean Hannity Show Network, we are going to allow you to make your decision. We'll stay with this coverage. The president at the border with Border Patrol leaders, those on the ground, will continue the coverage.
It's ancient, and it's never been bigger than it is modern right now, today. All over the world, by the way, not just here, all over the world. Human trafficking, a terrible thing. And they come into the areas of the border where you don't have the wall. They don't come through your points of entry. They come into areas where you don't have the wall. And they make a left or they make a right. They come right into the country, loaded up with people in many cases. And it's pretty sad. By the end of next year, we'll have completed or begun construction, and that's what we're really here with the Army Corps of Engineers for. And I think what I'd like to do is, while we're on that subject, General, if you could just give a little detail of the wall that's under construction, what we've built, where we're going, because the press never likes to talk about it. They don't like to talk about what we've done. It doesn't fit their narrative, but we've done a lot, we've renovated a lot, and we're building a lot. And maybe you could give a little summation of that, man.
Thanks, Mr. President. You know, before we talk concrete and steel, though, I think it's important to talk a little bit about, you know, maybe service the nation and protecting this country. 4 days ago, I was in a combat zone with our service members, and I saw the dedication that they have to be able to protect ourselves from overseas. Unbelievable service. But, sir, I would put these agents right in front of you today, the Customs and Border Patrol, of the same exact team. They protect America here from within. And I've been on the ground. I've seen the dedication they have. Sorry. And this is not for a paycheck. This is not for, you know, any other kind of reward. This is to be able to step up and take care of this country. And so I think that before we do anything else, we just got to make sure we have, you know, acknowledge the great work that these guys do. Phenomenal job. When it comes the actual construction, the Corps of Engineers is very, very proud to work for Secretary Nielsen and the Commissioner. We have put in the ground over 82 miles that is up to date. And then right now, by the end of this year, we'll have another 97 miles that will go in. And I'm really talking the entire depth of the border, all the way across from Texas into California. And then, sir, with the money that both Congress has appropriated and other money that you've been able to direct, we will put in the ground another 277 miles in the next year. What that will end up with is by the end of around December of 2020, the total amount of money that we will have put in the ground in the last couple of years will be about 450 miles. That's probably about $8 billion, a total of about 33 different projects. There are a lot of different complexities.
You've been listening to him as well as the President of the United States there in Calexico, California. Among other things, the President bluntly saying, quote, "We can't take you anymore. The system is full."
Now, for our team on the ground, we are committed to continue to be able to make this happen.
Thank you very much, John. So you heard the numbers. The numbers are really spectacular. We've gotten it, and it's very, very tough to get money from the Democrats. I'm getting it for everything else, but we don't get it for the wall. But the good news is we are getting it for the ports, ports of entry. We are getting it for machinery, the detection, drug detection machinery. We're getting a lot of money coming in, and that's good. The wall is like pulling teeth. It's pretty tough. I want to just say ICE Special Agent in Charge, Dave Shaw. Where are you, Dave?
Here.
Dave, thank you very much for doing a great job. Appreciate it very much. We also have, in addition to Kevin McCarthy, we have some of our great people in Congress, and I want to thank you all for being here. Doug LaMalfa, Duncan Hunter. Where's Duncan? Where's Duncan? Hi, Duncan. Hi.
Oh, he stepped out of the restaurant.
Hi. He was right back there. Thank you, Doug. Ken Calvert. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate it. Chuck Fleischman. Chuck, thanks. Great job you're doing. Tom McClintock. What a good name that is. My friend, too. Thank you, Tom, very much. Kay Granger. Kay, thank you very much. Great job. And Mike Rogers. Thanks, Mike. Really terrific. And they have been working hard, working all the time. This is one of their big things that they work on. They feel so strongly about it. So with that, I'd like to maybe ask you to say a few words, Gloria. Well, and I appreciate what I see over there. That's very nice.
Thank you, Mr. President, very much. On behalf of the men and women of the Old Central Sector and myself, we're extremely honored that you took the time to come out here, learn about our challenges, our needs out here in the 70-mile border that our agents patrol. You're absolutely correct, General. These men and women go above and beyond the call of duty here for the work that they handle on that border. We are part of several other sectors on the southern border that are overwhelmed. Our resources are extremely strained. We are not prepared to deal with the amount of people, family units and children, and now organized caravans that are coming across this border today. Our agents are being stretched in so many different directions. I am truly proud of every single one of them because they do so much to protect this country. And they've been continue with the processing and enduring the callous actions of these smugglers. Here in this sector, just this year, fiscal year 19, we have identified 193 fake families, people who are just teaming up kids with them to come through because they know that they can get a court date later and be able to get released into the community. So those are the challenges that the agents are dealing with, but they're out there, they're trying to investigate as much as they can to get it done. We touched on the wall. And you know, we're very fortunate here in the El Centro sector. We have about 58 miles of border barrier. Most of it is old. It's ineffective for us nowadays. It's over 20 years old. And for groups that come over, it's very easy for them to cross. So fortunately, with your approval, last year, we were able to construct with the help of DOD. By the way, DOD, phenomenal.
Good.
Phenomenal support that we've been receiving from the Department of Defense. Without their support, we wouldn't be as efficient as we are operationally because they are here providing us that support from the behind the scenes. Right now, we have 37 Marines out there monitoring cameras for us.
Yeah.
So those are 37 Border Patrol agents that don't have to be doing that duty because they're on the front line. But one of the things I wanted to bring up was that border wall was constructed in 8 months from February to October. As soon as it was completed, we started measuring and we started monitoring its effectiveness. So for the first quarter of FY19, we have had many, many efficiencies noted. For example, illegal entries in general, they decreased by 75%. Central American people that used to get arrested right through that area decreased by 86%. Indian nationals, this sector was leading the country with Indian national apprehensions for like 2 or 3 years. Mm. The wall goes up, it drops by 56%. The use of force incidents, which are more important to me than anything, because it's assaults and incidents that directly affect our Border Patrol agents doing the job on the border, they drop by 65% in those 2 miles of 30-foot border wall. So the border wall works for us. For Border Patrol agents, a border wall system is what works. We need the border barrier. We need to provide the requirements that meet our need. In this case for us, it's 30 feet high. That's what we asked for, and that's what was provided. So thank you. On behalf of the Border Patrol here for allowing us to have that. Thank you.
And usually that 35% is coming around. They're not going over because when people are watching, they're not going over. They're going around where it ends. So it goes and it ends and they'll go around because it's virtually 100% effective in terms of going through. So as we extend it, it becomes, as you folks know better than anybody, as we extend it, it becomes virtually impossible except for a Mount Everest type climber. And there aren't too many of them. It becomes virtually impossible to go through. So that's really something. Those are great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. I did ask the team of agents. They did not want you to leave from here because I know your time is precious. They wanted to present you with a nice memento in appreciation for all the support that you've given us. So we went ahead and secured a piece of the new border wall that is out here in El Centro sector. And I would like to present this to you.
Thank you very much.
It reads this way. It says, number 45. Mr. President, the agents and employees of the U.S. Border Patrol, El Centro sector, are the tip of the spear, proudly defending America's borders. In recognition of your commitment and unwavering support for the men and women on the front lines and the border security mission of the United States, we would like to present you with this piece of the first 30-foot border wall installed along the United States border with Mexico. Honor first, United States Border Patrol, El Centro Sector, April 5th, 2019.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
That's a heavy piece of wall.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you.
Appreciate it. We'll keep it here. Thank you. Madam Secretary, please.
Oh, sir, I think Gloria probably said it quite well, and General Semonite. I just want to thank you always for coming out to the field to listen to the men and women. We greatly appreciate your support. And I want to thank all of our folks from Congress for being here. We really appreciate you listening to the men and women who are on the tip of the spear, as Gloria said, and helping us resource the department to do the mission that you've given us. So thank you all for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Brandon?
President, thank you very much for having me here. The men and women of the Border Patrol really appreciate your time. We know that Air Force One has never seen, in your predecessor's time, Air Force One has never been this close to the border before. So these men and women here, they greatly appreciate you coming out and the time that you've given them. By the way, I didn't think Secret Service was supposed to let guns in the room.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
We trust them. I think.
On a serious note, I began my career right here in El Centro 21 years ago in the El Centro sector. I work with people like Butch Malden, Pat Whipple, Mario Campos, Mike Matsky. We worked pre-wall, post-wall. We've seen what happens when walls are built. We've seen how illegal immigration is driven low. When we build those physical barriers, people say that it's archaic. People say that they don't work, but in reality, and what Chief Chavez just explained, those walls do in fact work. Frankly, and I appreciate the congressmen that are here because I know that they support your agenda, but for those congressmen that want to be obstructionists, I say, if they're not going to be part of the solution, at least get out of your way. Let your administration do what needs to be done to get the border secure. And with that, I'll turn it back
over. Well, I just want to thank you. You've been an incredible representative of your men and women, I can tell you that. He's constantly getting us to do what's right. And Chris and so many others, you guys are fantastic, and I appreciate it. Even from before I started, they were calling. They want to see it happen, and it's happening, and I want to just thank you very much. When you talk about previous administration, so we have a stretch along the Rio Grande where, and you people know exactly where I'm talking about, it's about 38 miles, done by actually both previous administrations. It was sort of done as a combination of one going into the other. And it's a wall, not a good-looking wall, it's a wall. It's got 36 doors in it, big doors, very big doors.
and they never put the doors on. So it's 38 miles with 36 doors that you can drive a truck through. There's only one problem. They never put the doors on it. So we're putting the doors on it, or even better, maybe not putting any doors. I said, maybe you do it without the doors, because putting the doors on costs more than the property is worth. I'd rather give the money for the property and just say bye-bye or sell it to somebody on the other side. But, I mean, literally putting the doors on costs more money. I said, what's the property worth on the other side? Much less than the doors. These are doors with the hydraulic. They need hydraulic because they're so heavy, which is ridiculous in itself. But so that's the kind of thinking that went into this. So now we're filling up those big gaping wounds in this wall, and it's going to have a big effect. And we're adding to it very substantially in that area, the Rio Grande area. And you know exactly the area I'm talking about, right? You never saw anything like that. He said, I've never seen this one before. A wall and big holes in it. So a lot of good things are happening. Would you like to say a few words, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Welcome to California. Margaret Mims, Sheriff of Fresno, yes. California. And thank you for your personal attention to the very important issue of border security. You know, I talk to local law enforcement across our nation, and always the number one issue is border security when we talk about our issues. An uncontrolled, unsecure border directly affects our local communities, and without a secure border, transnational gangs, human traffickers, and drug cartels will take advantage of any opportunity to exploit our current border crisis to further their criminal behavior in our local communities. We've experienced this firsthand. We've seen increased fentanyl traffickers and deaths in the Central Valley of California as a result of fentanyl overdoses. We've also seen MS-13 gang members from El Salvador commit horrendous, vicious murders. Our investigations into this gang resulted in connecting 18 homicides committed in 3 western states. I want to commend all of our federal law enforcement partners from Homeland Security and especially the Border Patrol today, because what you do here makes a difference in our local communities. And the job that you do is under very difficult circumstances. Mr. President, there is a border crisis, and this crisis does not stay at the border. It trickles into our local communities, stretching the resources of local agencies. We must do everything we can to protect our communities from this threat. Border security is more important now than ever. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you're right about that. It goes into Iowa and Idaho and New Hampshire, and you know, it's not the border. It's the border, and then they come in, and you end up in places that you would never think of the kind of crime that we see. And it comes right through this border. It starts right here. That's why if we stop them at the southern border of Mexico, which right now Mexico is doing, that would be a fantastic thing. And I think that's happening. I think it's never been before. Never. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. All of a sudden, Mexico's doing terrifically. They have to, because you've all seen, and I don't want to do this, but it would be a very profitable situation. We're going to have to tariff the cars coming in from Mexico to the United States. And if that doesn't work, which it will, we'll close the border. Somebody said it will take a year. No, it won't take a year. It'll take a day. They wrote, you know, a lot of fake news. I said in a year. Well, the tariffs will work, number one, but what will work, really work, is the closing of the border. We hope we don't have to do that, but I'll do it, because ultimately the security of our nation is the most important thing. And we're not even talking about the drugs, a massive amount of drugs that pours through. And it would have a tremendous impact. And we're going to be working on that. We've been working on that. We've done a tremendous job on drugs coming into the country. If you look at some of the numbers, we're having a news conference next week at the White House on the impact that we've had between opioid and all of the other problems we have with drugs. Different drugs than we had 10, 15, 20 years ago, much different. But also the drugs coming in through the border. We've had a great impact. Joseph, would you like to say a few words? Looks like he's in good shape, this guy.
Charles, you want to give the presentation?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much. Good.
So, Mr. President, good afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming here to Lexico Station. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the border wall and what it's done for us here and the activity levels. And when I talk about activity levels, I'm not just referencing the illegal apprehensions or the legal entries. I'm also talking about things like assaults, uses of force, manpower deployments, and statistics related to OTMs, other than Mexicans, and also family units. Now, immediately, like you said, we saw some incredible results from the border wall. We saw a 75% decrease in the first quarter of fiscal year 19 in illegal entries, 65% decrease in assaults and uses of force. Prior to the construction, we were number one in the nation in uses of force and number two in the nation in assaults. So that's been huge for us. Prior to the construction of the wall, after the construction of the wall, we had an 86% decrease in illegal aliens from the Northern Triangle countries, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. We also saw that we were able to decrease 38% of our manpower in those areas and deploy them to other parts of the border so that they could be more effective out there. We have apprehended aliens from 40 different unique countries across the globe. Now, in support of the border wall, when you move to other parts of the border where the fence is less effective, we'll speak about downtown Calexico, for instance. We have older, much less effective picket-style fence, much shorter, 15 feet. Luckily, we were able to bolster that infrastructure with concertina wire in early December. Right. DOD helped with that.
Very effective.
Very effective. 53% decrease in illegal entries after the concertina wire was deployed. We also had some unintended consequences. We saw a 228% increase in fence breaches due to the inferiority of the fence in that area. These fence breaches have cost us $317,000 so far to repair, and they keep going. Now, contrast that with the new wall, and we've only seen three breaches post-construction, which is, compare that, we have total, I said 228.
All right, we're going to continue our coverage telling stations along the Sean Hannity Show Network, with the president now at the border wall being briefed on the conditions and just giving a heads up to our affiliate stations.
But it's been a total of 538 since the C-wire went up in December.
Right.
These breaches, though, they don't just represent the ease in which that aliens can enter the United States. They also represent a significant challenge and security and safety challenge to our border patrol agents on the lines. We saw a 143% increase in the assaults against our agents in this area with the breaches. A couple of months ago, an agent was responding to a breach where several illegal aliens had already pushed through the border. He was struck in the back of the neck with a rock and required hospitalization. Just last month, a female agent was monitoring cross-border traffic when an illegal alien, a self-admitted gang member, with a rusted lawnmower blade in his hand, threw it through the agent's closed window. Luckily, she saw the assailant out of the corner of her eye as he was coming at her, and she was able to actually put up her left hand and block that lawnmower blade from hitting her in the face, but she did sustain injuries to her arm. So it's a significant challenge to us. I referenced the OTM and family unit statistics earlier. The stretch of border now, where specifically in the Calexico Station, where we see all of those aliens, just happens to be where we have the oldest, most outdated infrastructure in the sector. It's the old, what we call the landing mat style fence. 90% of all the OTMs and family units that enter in Calexico Station enter through that area. Represents a 77% increase over the same time last year. Mr. President, at the end of the day, walls work, infrastructure works. We need more wall, we need more manpower, and we need more technology. And the mix of those is incredibly important. I can't stress that enough.
Thank you, Joseph. The people of Calexico have been incredible. They've really rolled out the red carpet. We appreciate it. And let me ask you a question. You or Brandon or both, you could ask. So what do you do when we have military and we have the great Border Patrol and we have everybody here, but you have big open sections for miles and miles before we build the wall? We're building it now, but before. How do you stop these large numbers of people coming? You're not, look, other countries, what they do is very, very tough. We can't do what they do. You understand that. We can't do what they do. We don't want to do what they do. But how do you stop these large
sometimes massive groups of people from just pouring through. What do you do? Prior to the wall. Once the wall is up, it's easy.
You just grab as many as you can, you arrest as many as you can, and the ones that get away, get away.
But there's nothing that you can do to physically keep them out of the country. That's what barriers are for. They physically keep people out.
Yeah. And
the groups, as you know, are going up. It used to be that we'd see maybe one group a year of over 100.
Yeah.
We've already seen over 100 groups of over 100 people, which is 100 people reaching our border at one time that the border patrol goes and picks up, and they're being very, as usual, humble. They also save thousands of people every year, many of whom have been left for dead by the smugglers and traffickers. So they take all parts of their mission seriously, but we need to resource them so they can do them all.
And so I just speak to the folks in the first, second, third row, very special people, and some of the fourth row, I see. system's full. Can't take any more. Sorry, folks. Can't take any more. Asylum. You know, I look at some of these asylum people. They're gang members. They're not afraid of anything. They have lawyers greeting them. They read what the lawyer tells them to read. They're gang members. And they say, I fear for my life. They're the ones that are causing fear for life. It's a scam, okay? It's a scam. It's a hoax. I know about hoaxes. I just went through a hoax. So our system is full. We're not taking them anymore, okay? Can't do it. You can't do it. You know, you can go up to a point, but we can't do it anymore. Please.
Sir, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks
thank
for
you,
letting me speak.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. It's an honor to be here on behalf of ICE. Like you said, America is facing an unprecedented crisis at the border. The sheer volume of family units crossing the border has overwhelmed ICE's limited resources, and as a result, more than 126,000 people have been released into the U.S. since the end of last year. The crisis is further amplified by the lack of space in our detention facilities, which is simply inadequate to handle the volume of illegal border crossings occurring daily. Families are being released at the border with nothing more than a notice to appear in court, knowing full well that none of them ever will. Meanwhile, ICE is exhausting its limited resources trying to increase bed space capacity for single adults. At this point, we need more resources, including more officers and agents along the border and in the interior. We need the funding and the authority to detain these aliens during their immigration proceedings. In addition, as you know, current laws and court rulings like the judicial interpretation of the Flores Settlement Agreement have created pull factors that basically incentivize illegal migrants to cross our border by the thousands every day. We must amend these outdated laws to deter the illegal immigration and prevent the effective operation of our lawful immigration system. America's also facing a public safety crisis. ICE has had to reassign hundreds of officers to the border, limiting our ability to arrest, remove criminal aliens, gang members, and public safety threats from our communities. Just in fiscal year 2018, ICE arrested approximately 10,000 gang members, including 2,000 that were members of the MS-13 gang. We also seized over 1 million pounds of narcotics, including 2,700 pounds of fentanyl. Any reduction in these vital law enforcement efforts creates an unnecessary and unacceptable risk in our communities and for our citizens. I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
You know, you mentioned fentanyl. So, as you know, we're working on a trade deal with China. That's part of it. They've agreed that they will not be essentially not sending it. They're going to criminalize it, which it's not criminalized right now. And they're going to classify it in such a way that it's very hard to send, make, and a lot of other things. So we have some pretty good things coming on because most of it comes in from China. And President Xi himself has told me they're going to do that. We have an agreement, and they have actually already started. So that'll help you a lot.
Thanks, sir.
Some of it's coming right in here, right to Mexico and then across. So I think we're going to take care of a lot of it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Please.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. Welcome to Calexico, if I may.
Thank you.
What we are currently encountering along the border, the entire southwest border, is truly a border humanitarian issue. The influx of people, especially from Central America, is completely overwhelming our agents and our agency. The apprehension demographic has completely changed from what it was in the past. In previous years, the majority of our arrests were from people from Mexico. Now those arrests are from Central America. Especially with the threat that we have now of organized caravans coming to our borders and bringing thousands of people. Mr. President, now the majority of our agents are assigned to transportation duties, processing duties, and hospital watch. Here at El Central Sector, That is with a workforce that is approximately 300 agents below the allowed amount. To put things into perspective, approximately 60 agents per day are assigned to these duties. If you look over here, that can go to the preparation of the food, the caring of the unaccompanied children, and the helping of the family units. Those are 60 agents that can and should be patrolling our border. That affects our national security. As previously stated, our central sector has seen an increase of 400% of family unit apprehensions. That's 400%. We've seen an increase of 24% in the apprehensions of unaccompanied children. What we're seeing is minors being exploited and being implanted into these fake family units. Transnational criminal organizations are coaching these families and even providing them with fraudulent documents to assist them with their claim. Very recently here in El Central sector, through an operation, we were able to rescue six minors that had been implanted into these fake family units. What's even more concerning is these children range from a 9-month-old infant to a 14-year-old. Something that's also that we're beginning to see are Mexican nationals claiming that they are from Central America in an attempt to exploit these loopholes and these old, outdated immigration laws. Mr. President, we are in daily communication with consulates from all over the world in an attempt to verify these family unit claims. This task is nearly impossible because we don't have the resources or just the logistics.
You know, the president just takes. It is amazing to listen to this, especially in light of all that we hear from the media, mob, and Democrats. It's stunning. Why don't they care to listen to the people that are on the front lines, putting their lives on the line for us every day? The truth shall set us free, shall it not? We'll continue our coverage. We're glad you're with us. Happy Friday, Sean Hannity Show. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. We are going back to President in California, roundtable discussion with those on the front lines with the battle over the border. You know, the reason that I think this is important, you hear all of this, and everyone on my team agrees, is because nobody is willing to tell you the truth with the media mob. They're not covering it right now on these new so-called news channels. They're not covering it. Fox was the only one to cover it. And they're not. And meanwhile, what do you get? Oh, manufacturer crisis. Oh, manufacturer crisis. And you hear the passion by which those that are defending the borders, how they are explaining their what is now a desperate situation for them, how this has now hit critical mass. That's not going to be their lead story tonight. Maybe Mueller said something bad in the report, and maybe the attorney general's bad, and we need to impeach him. That's where their head's at. All right, back to this meeting with the president and those on the front lines protecting our borders.
To help us. This is complete crisis. We need your assistance. We need additional agents. We need resources. We are completely overwhelmed as agents and as an agency. Thank you for your assistance.
Okay, good. And we'll take care of it. And I agree with you. We'll take care of it. Your turn.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, I want to thank you for your leadership on border security because the impacts are definitely felt in California. And the second thing I want to do is on behalf of my constituents and all Californians, I want to thank all of the men and women here whose job it is to make sure that that border is secure. And it's made more and more difficult every single day by the majority party in California. As you recall, Governor Brown, when he was in office, he reluctantly allowed National Guard troops to go down to the border to assist.
That's true.
And then Governor Newsom got into office, and he very quickly said, no more National Guard troops down at the border. We don't want to assist. That comes from the fact that the Democrats in California decided that California would be a sanctuary state. That if you're an illegal immigrant and you want to come into the United States, California is the place that you want to come. We are going to roll out the red carpet. That causes a strain not only on our taxpayers, not only on law enforcement, not only on our schools. I mean, it is across the board. It is felt everywhere.
And by the way, it makes it much tougher for everybody. I mean,
that's
they pour into these areas that sanctuary cities are a disaster, and they pour in, and a lot of the places in California, they don't want to be sanctuary cities.
No,
they're actually asking not to be a sanctuary city, which is
we had a lot of cities across California.
Absolutely.
A lot of people go to their city councils and demand that their city council state for the record that they would not become a sanctuary city, of which, of course, didn't work because the legislature said, no, we're going to become a sanctuary state. So we have the issue of drugs, which everyone here has spoken about. I don't need to add on to that. I think we're very clear on the problems with the drugs, and we're very clear on the financial burden that this places on this country and on this state. But when everyone else in the world wants to say this is not a crisis, what I would say to them is Obama's secretary, just I think last week, Jay Johnson said he cannot imagine how these agents are managing the border and that it is a crisis. So if Jay Johnson can acknowledge it, I would hope that Democrats across this country could acknowledge it as well. Because what is happening is Democrats are saying they want to take our border and change it from a border into a crosswalk. And we cannot have that.
Sure. Well, Jay Johnson was great. He had a very strong statement. And Mr. Morgan, too, who worked for President Obama, said this is a problem. Has been, not just now. I mean, this has been going on. I think probably the economy and a lot of other things have brought him up even more. We've had some very bad court decisions. The Flores decision is a disaster, I have to tell you. Judge Flores, whoever you may be, that decision is a disaster for our country, a disaster, and we're working on that. But I just want to thank you. Great job you're doing. Really appreciate it. We're going to get it taken care of. It's all going to come together. Thank you. Kevin, please.
Just very quickly, Mr. President, just want to echo Secretary Nielsen, Chief Chavez, thank you for coming down to see us, to listen to our men and women, talk about the progress we're making, and you'll see that with the resources that you've supported for the border, with General Semonite's team's assistance. That wall is formidable. It's making an impact in the security of the sector, but we need to continue to work with Congress on improving the laws. As you noted, we need partnership from Mexico on these flows and attacking the criminals that are exploiting these individuals and really the ones that are profiting from this entire cycle. And I just want to thank my men and women who do a tremendous job here every day. Very, very proud of their commitment, even though they're facing extreme challenges, as you've heard.
And their central casting. I've never seen a group of people like this. Everyone's in perfect shape. And you're proud of what you do, right? You wouldn't trade places with me for anything. I know that, right? You're smart. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, Dave, you were mentioning before about, you know, people coming in and they come in and they come in. You don't have to take them in. When your system is packed, when you cannot get another person in, when every one of your detention areas is teeming and you have to let people go into a country, they can't take them. Can't take them. We don't have room. We don't have room. That means you can't take them. You don't understand it. I don't think anyone's ever expressed it like that, but I'm expressing it like that. When it's full, it's full. You can't take them. They go back to Mexico, and Mexico will bring them back to their country. Okay? Or if they're Mexican, it's a step easier, frankly. And again, over the last 4 days, Mexico has been very nice. Okay? So just because you made a point that was very interesting. But you can't take them, you can't take them. There's nothing you can do. Okay? I'd like to maybe end by having a man who's really been a help, and that's Kevin McCarthy. You can speak on behalf of your great representatives that are here with you. And maybe you could stand up and say a few words, Kevin, because you've been very much at the forefront of this fight, and you love this state very much.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. And on behalf of all these members of Congress, we want to thank you. We know you're on the front line. And we do not intend for you to be doing the job they're asking you to do today. We think you should be on the border. And we don't think that's right. We realize the current law, the way asylum is applied, the way the catch and release does not allow you to do your job correctly. And I don't believe it was the intent of what America intended when they passed these bills either. We want to work bipartisan or any way possible, but we've got to solve this problem. It is a crisis. We know you are being overloaded.
But I want you to know that we think it's a top priority. We will work with this president. We will work with anybody who wants to solve this problem. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Great job. Thank you, Kevin. And, you know, Kevin mentioned catch and release. You catch them and you release them. I'm saying this for them because you people all get it. It's the dumbest thing anyone's ever heard. Maybe I'm trying to figure out which is the word, which is the dumbest? Is it chain migration or is it visa lottery? Pick them out of the hat. Let's go. You think they're giving us their finest? I don't think so, right? I don't think so. It's just, it's crazy. And we have to work with the Democrats and get it over. We have to, look, we need common sense in our country. This is about common sense. This is about anything other than common sense. And that's what we need. Now, Gloria has asked me to recognize, and she will recognize, three people that she thinks are just outstanding. Please.
Thank you, Mr. President, for the opportunity. There are three individuals in this audience today that I did not want to miss the opportunity to recognize in your presence. So we have an agent. His name is Cesar Arroyo. Cesar, if you could please stand. Cesar Arroyo was off duty one night with his family. It was his birthday. He was headed to a local restaurant to celebrate that birthday. Well, he witnessed an accident, and the vehicle that was involved in the accident went airborne and fell into an irrigation canal. In the vehicle was a mother and three children, and to include an infant in the back seat. Cesar immediately jumped out of his vehicle, ran across the street and into the canal, and started working to save those individuals. All four people out of that vehicle were pulled to safety to the canal bank, while others got there to help him and assisted. But it was his actions that truly reflect the character of what a Border Patrol agent is, and I wanted to recognize those actions here today. There is another Border Patrol agent. His name is Carlos Lara. And Carlos was on duty as well. And Carlos witnessed an individual jump in, cross the border illegally, jump into an irrigation canal, and immediately took action to also jump in and rescue that individual and pull him to safety. So for Carlos' actions as well, I wanted to recognize that, Mr. President, because that happens on a regular basis here. But that day, he went through an extreme hardship because of all the things he had to do to get to that person. And eventually he was able to bring him to safety as well. So thank you, Carlos,
thank
for
you,
your
Carlos.
Actions as well. And Mr. President, last but not least, we have extraordinary mission support personnel, our civilian workforce that works tirelessly behind the scenes to get the job done so that these Border Patrol agents are able to get to the front line and get the work done. From admin support secretaries, clerks, to timekeepers, to logistics directors, to logistics personnel, our mechanics that we couldn't get, you know, a vehicle ready to go in the field without their help. We have a young lady here today. Her name is Nubia Avalos. And Ms. Nubia is like our unsung hero behind the scenes who is constantly delivering excellence in every task that we assign to her. This young lady here is the one in charge of your next 11 miles of 30-foot border wall that are going to start in June of 2019.
Very important.
Thank you.
She'll get it done on time, on budget, maybe under budget, right? Under time, under budget. That's happened too, right? Thank you very much. Congratulations. I just want to thank everybody. We're now going over to look at the new section of wall, and we have a lot of it going up. And again, General, I want to thank you for the job. You really got it together. We have a lot of work under construction, but a lot more is coming in the very, very, very soon. Money's been transferred, money's been approved, And that wasn't easy. When you have people that don't want to give you money, that's not so easy. But we know we need it. We had no choice. So I just want to thank you all, and let's go see the wall. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You said you want to see asylum reform. What do you specifically want to do about it? Governor Newsom today saying that some of your ideas regarding asylum show a disregard for the Constitution.
Well, Governor Newsom, honestly, is living in a different world, and that's a very dangerous world he's living in. And if he keeps living there, lots of problems for the people of California. They don't want that. They want to be secure. They want to be safe. And not only asylum, but many other things, loopholes. When you have an asylum situation where rough, tough people with criminal records are asking for asylum, it doesn't work that way. So we have a full system, nothing we can do. Thank you very much, everybody. Let's go.
President live in California and speaking with those brave men and women that see the crisis for what it is. They deal with the cartels, they deal with the gangs, they deal with the heroin, they deal with the fentanyl, they deal with the gun trafficking, they deal with the human trafficking. They are overwhelmed. They are now inundated. One of the reasons is, as was discussed in this meeting, is, yeah, we're actually building the wall and repairing other parts of the wall. And so the president is doing his best to protect the American people. As I said in the beginning, how many homicides, how many sexual assaults, how many violent assaults have to take place before people with the media mob and others stop lying to you, the American people? Or members of Congress in the second term of Obama. Those people, they themselves supported building a wall, funding a wall. That said, that sounded just like Donald Trump today. Those that cared about Dreamers and DACA that are nowhere to be found now, saying the opposite of what they once said, now claiming the walls they voted to build are immoral. The hypocrisy knows no bounds whatsoever. You know, it's really ridiculous. 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program. And as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. You know, we're going to follow up with this meeting of the president in California and all that we heard from the people that are on the front lines, because this is really coming down to a moment of truth. If we don't get this moment right and get this done correctly and don't stop this now, I don't know if we ever will. I really don't.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
When you hear Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi saying that the president has manufactured a crisis to sell this wall, what's your message to those top Democrats?
It may seem manufactured to them because they're sitting safely behind walls, but for those of us out in regular America, we are victims. We are prone to the victimization of illegal aliens and crime.
I'm just wondering how many of these people have had their sons, daughters, wives, or husbands' life snuffed out.
And when you talk about family separation, I'm really sick and tired of Democrats talking about Trump's family separation. I was with ICE during the Obama years. Family detention was built under the Obama administration. We went from 100 family beds to 3,000 family beds. And those so-called cages, which I don't call cage at all, but they call them cages, were built under the Obama administration. So, you know, they got to stop clouding the truth here to the American people. So his idea,
well, he was saying separating parents at kids from the adults that they're with, whether those are their parents or not.
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, it was not a family separation policy. It was a zero tolerance policy. Family separation was a result of a parent being prosecuted. The child can't go to jail with the parent. Now, families were separated under the Obama administration. Parents were separated under the Bush administration and the Clinton administration. More was done under the Trump administration because Congress had failed to close the loopholes. The border's out of control. If Congress is going to fail to fix this legislatively and the courts keep, you know, stalling, you know, action taken by the president, then we need to do operationally what no one else is doing. So that was a way to try to control the flow, and it worked.
Yeah.
All right, there it is. We have the biggest crisis at our southern border than we have had in a long, long time. I am beyond frustrated at this point that we still have an entire Democratic Party apparatus and a media apparatus joined at the hip just blatantly, repeatedly continuing to lie to the American people. We have had way too many mothers and fathers on this program whose children are dead because of criminal, illegal immigrants in this country, oftentimes repeated, some of them protected by sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. I use the case of Grant Ronnebeck. Great point. A guy convicted of holding a woman and assaulting her for over a week was not turned over to ICE. And Steve Ronnebeck, his father, comes on this program and tells us the story of his 22-year-old son working overnight in a convenience store, murdered from a guy who had already been known and identified as a criminal illegal immigrant that spent time in jail for kidnapping this young girl for over a week and assaulting her, and then let back into the population because these states aid and abet the future crimes of criminal aliens by their lack of cooperation with ICE officials, their disregard for what the law states, and frankly, the most bizarre sort of thinking that is beyond any mindset I can comprehend or understand. It's unbelievable. Anyway, Terry Jeffrey is with us, and he's the editor-in-chief of CNSNews.com. Maria Salazar, Cuban-American journalist, broadcast TV presenter, worked for CNN, Univision, Telemundo. Good to hear from both of you. Terry, let me start with you. And I don't know how many, we're losing 300 kids a week from heroin, 90% of which comes across the border. I've given enough homicide and sexual assault and violent assault statistics in 2 years that would shock anyone's mind and soul, except, I guess, the sanctuary city crowd that wants to knock down border walls. How many more people have to die before we say this is a crisis?
Well, it's unbelievable, Sean. The Democratic Party, the liberals, they don't want to secure the border, and they don't mind how many criminals are coming across with other illegal aliens. And I tell you, this week I wrote my column based on data that comes from the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts that shows the number of people who were convicted of crimes and sentenced to prison in the 94 U.S. District Courts around the country, five of which sit on the U.S.-Mexico border. Those are the districts for Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, Western Texas, and Southern Texas. Those five districts, the ones that sit on the border, are the five leading districts for criminals who are convicted and sentenced to prison by U.S. district judges. 41% of all criminals in the United States who are convicted of federal crimes and sent to prison by a federal district judge are convicted in those five courts on the border. And one other thing, Sean, that doesn't count people who are found guilty in magistrate courts for lesser crimes. But back in the 1970s, the government created magistrate courts for courts that were overburdened. 90% of the criminals convicted in magistrate courts are convicted in those five courts along the border. So when you add the serious criminals who are convicted in the district court, the other criminals that are convicted in the magistrate courts, the majority of federal criminal convictions are in the five districts along the U.S.-Mexico border. That's a fact. The liberals don't want people to deal with it. It's the truth.
And Maria, what's your experience? And I know that there is a passionate debate going on. I know, for example, you worked at Univision, and you know our friend Jorge Ramos, who, by the way, I stuck up for when he had his camera and his equipment taken away when he was in Venezuela. And I just vehemently disagree. He wants open borders and doesn't consider this illegal immigration.
And now that you say that, Sean, I wanted to tell you that I have never met you in person, but I want to tell you publicly that I saw your face the day when you were talking about Jorge Ramos. He was able to get out of Venezuela. And your expression, your demeanor, and the way that you treated him really, really.
Oh, I was making phone calls to everybody I knew. I was not going to allow an American to be held hostage like that.
But you know, it speaks very highly of you, and I'm not brown-nosing you. I'm telling you that it speaks very highly because I know that your position and your views are completely different from his and from mine, but you really proved that the American system is in your heart because of what you just said. You wanted a fellow journalist.
We are one family, Maria. We are one family. God created every human being on earth. And there are good people and bad people. And we want to just be able to vet the bad people, the 2%, not the 98%. And we want you to come in legally if you want what we take for granted. That's all. It's simple.
And I agree with you. And I want to tell you that we Hispanic Americans, we're embarrassed because we want the bad hombres, like the president said, to get out. The guy who killed Kaylee Stanley should have been out. All this criminal aliens. They have,
Kate Steinle.
Room in the, kick them out. Kick them out now, because you know why? And I tell you, you know, I live in Miami. I'm surrounded by undocumented, by illegals, people that would like to be out of darkness, people that are cleaning homes or mowing the lawn, people that do not necessarily want citizenship. They just want some type of legality so they can buy homes and they can pay taxes and they can raise their American children. They snuck in. I agree with you. They should have not been here, but the system allowed them to be. But then let's take care of the cleaning lady, but not of the gang member. And that is the problem with sanctuary cities, that we're sending the wrong message that Hispanics agree with sanctuary cities. And we don't, because we do not want to, we don't want to cover or to protect criminals. And the sanctuary city should be protecting the cleaning ladies and the guys that's mowing the lawn. But that is not happening. So what I think, Sean, and you agree with me, is that we need to come to terms that those 7.5 or 7.7 million people that have been here for more than 15 years and they do not have a criminal record, maybe we should give them from 10 to 12 years some type of legality if they continue behaving as an American citizen.
Well, the president, I think, Terry, has offered not citizenship or a path to citizenship, but kind of what Maria is suggesting, but he also ends chain migration. I think the president was pretty willing to go far, especially on DACA, Dreamers, and he couldn't even get Democrats to sit down with him. They hate him more than they obviously do than they love the Dreamers and DACA and securing borders.
Because they use us, and that is the problem. Yep. They're using us as political football, and that's what I resent.
And they don't want to stop illegal immigration. But there's something I think people need to keep in mind. And they want to talk about law-abiding illegal aliens inside the United States. But there's another data point I've reported about over the years that the government wants to ignore, which is the number of false, they call them no-match W-2s that are sent in every year to the IRS. I'm sure they're getting a lot right now when people are paying their taxes, where the Social Security number doesn't match the name on the W-2. And they know that the main reason for that is an illegal alien using either a stolen or a fake Social Security number. And you have some corporations, there's one corporation based in Illinois that one year filed more than 30,000 of those fake W-2s, those false W-2s. The government knows exactly who those employers are. Those employers have a vested interest in bringing people illegally across the border to live and work illegally in the United States, to file illegal documents with the IRS. And basically, we have an establishment elite in Washington, Sean, that conspires with those corporations to allow them to continue year after year after year after year to employ those illegal aliens, who drive down the wages and limit the jobs for legal immigrants who came here honestly and for citizens. So I think when people talk about law-abiding illegal aliens, that's an oxymoron. You cannot illegally stay in the United States and sustain yourself unless you're willing to violate law after law after law and do it habitually. And I think that's not the kind of person we want immigrating the United States. We want immigration from Latin America, but we want it to be law-abiding and honest people who come here with respect for our law, not who come here and habitually break our law.
Well, I know, but if somebody is abating and is helping them to stay, and that is the business owners of America. In Texas, you have an underground railroad system, and who is the number one coyote? The business owners in the construction industry in Texas. So I agree with you that those people that have been here for more than 15 years, and you know the statistics, Sean, 7 out of the 11 million or the 12 million that are undocumented, half have been here for more than 15 years. Who has allowed them to stay? 5 administrations.
Well, what you do have, look, and Terry, I know you'll agree with this. You have some Republicans that have always wanted open borders because, quote, cheap labor, right? Well, that hurts Americans that want jobs. Now we have those jobs. Okay, now if people want to come in, that's fine. Just let us vet you, make sure that you have the means and ability to take care of yourself, and you're not going to bring harm to our family. You're going to become a part of our family. And the other side of it is, well, Democrats think, well, this is a huge voting base for the future. Is that true, Terry?
Without question. I think the two interests here that are driving the continued tolerance of illegal immigration and the non-secure border we have with Mexico are, on the Democratic side, the understanding that in the long run that the illegal aliens are going to become a voting bloc for the Democrats. On the Republican establishment side, it's those major corporations that are hiring thousands of illegal aliens. And, you know, if you look at these bad W-2s that are filed with the IRS, they are concentrated in certain industries that cannot move. If you're Ford, you can move your plant from Michigan to Mexico, use cheap labor down there, and then bring your products tariff-free back into the United States, having created a job in Mexico instead of Michigan. But if you're a hotel company, or if you're a fast food restaurant, or if you're some kind of business like that that must be located in the United States, obviously you can't relocate your hotel to Mexico if you need a hotel in Michigan. Those are the companies that are hiring illegal aliens, and the Republicans have had an interest, the Republican establishment, in helping those corporations maintain their labor pool of illegal aliens as opposed to legal aliens and Americans.
Let's stay right there, Terry. We'll take a break. Terry Jeffrey is with us, as well as Maria Salazar, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. All right, as we continue with Maria Salazar, Cuban-American journalist, broadcast TV, anchor, host, and reporter, and Terry Jeffrey with us, editor-in-chief of CNSNews.com. So what I love is the president's not stopping, Terry. You know, I've been saying this from the beginning. He's unrelenting. He is tenacious. And, okay, the government shutdown didn't work. Okay, here's plan B. An emergency order that is withheld legislatively and constitutionally. And the Department of Defense is that can reallocate $9 billion in the funds needed to protect our border, and it's going to happen.
He's got to do it, Sean. If President Trump doesn't keep fighting as he is to get the border secure and secure the border, no one will ever do it. And he wants to do it. He knows we need to do it. He's fighting this two-party establishment in Washington, D.C. to get it done. And the American people need to rally behind him, and good people in Congress need to rally behind him, because honestly, if the border is not secure under Donald Trump, it never will be, and we will never be able to control the borders of our nation again.
Last word, Maria Salazar.
I agree that we need heavy security. I do agree, Sean, that we need to nip it at the bud and go to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is Central America. And I've said it many times, and I think that we have shared this idea that the president is the ultimate deal maker. He can go to Tegucigalpa and he can help the presidents of Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua, and Honduras to keep their people home. Ronald Reagan did it. I was at Washington. I was a Central American bureau chief for Univision at the time. I covered the Reagan era, and we didn't have the problems we have at the border. The problem we have is that we are a very good country with very big hearts. We cannot allow for what's happening.
800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Maria, thank you. Terry Jeffrey, thank you. David is in California. Yeah, one of the high, high tax states where many people are beginning to leave in droves. What's going on, David? How are you?
Hey, Sean. It's an extreme honor. I believe that 1,000 years from now, historians will study your show as an example of free speech that saved our democracy. And I believe you're truly a historic American. Thank you.
Well, I think 1,000 years from now, I have no clue if the earth will cease to exist. Ocasio-Cortez is telling us we only have 12 years left.
I'll get to my point here for you. I think the Mueller investigation was wildly successful. You know, they failed at indicting Trump, but I think that was never really the ultimate agenda. Sure, that would have been a bonus, but with the investigation, they provided the fake news media, you know, incredible fuel to run a false narrative for 2+ years. And if you look at how propaganda works, I think that they're being extremely successful. Still, a large majority of Americans are disapproving or don't believe in Trump. And when you're fed constant lies over and over and over again, it works.
Well, I mean, look, it is true. Propaganda works. Lies work. But the more we expose it, the more we predict it before it happens. I mean, every 2-4 years, I give my predictions. Well, how are they going to portray Republicans? You know the answer. Racist, sexist, you know my list. They're going to do it even to advance whatever their agenda is. Look, they're going to promise you everything. And, you know, listen to the weird, bizarre Instagram rant of Ocasio-Cortez that we played last night. I mean, it just this now has taken over this party. This is a party that wants open borders. They're now saying it. A party that doesn't have a problem with criminal aliens, even violent ones. They won't work with, obey the law, and hand those criminals over to ICE for deportation. And they come back, they go right back into the population, and what happens? More crimes occur. And it's the same thing. What do they stand for? They gave us a lousy 8 years of the Obama-Biden economy. They gave us ridiculous and insane national security policies like tell Vladimir I'll have more flexibility after the election. And also the Iranian deal, you know, Mullah's getting $150 billion dropped on their tarmac. For what? We got nothing out of them for that. Not a thing. And now, thankfully, this president has done something. You know, the President Obama, Biden, they leave it literally a situation in North Korea. They didn't have the courage to stand up to little Rocket Man. Well, now we've made a lot of progress. But and then to hear liberals say, well, that's not enough. You're not being tough enough. I'm like, what do you? These people did nothing. Their way of dealing with dictators and despots is to just go out there and appease them and bribe them and say, please, if we give you this, will you be nicer to us? And of course, they'll take America's money. And it never works. And you got a president that has the moral clarity, like in Israel. We have a prime minister. Bibi Netanyahu has been a sole voice of moral clarity on the world stage, singularly defining evil in our time and understanding the real, clear, present danger that radical Islamists present to not just Israel, but to the entire world, to the entire Middle East, starting there. And the desire to destroy the little Satan, Israel, and the big Satan, the United States, that is a real, sick, twisted ideology. It is a goal. It is a dream of those that embrace the so-called caliphate, people that would, without a second thought, think they were doing the will of God by strapping their own kids in suicide bomb vests, that they'd blow themselves up and that they'd be rewarded in heaven. There is evil in our time. It exists. It is everywhere. You know, that's why this Israeli election is so important. And if you have friends that live in Israel, beg them, go out and vote. For the first time, we've created a partnership there with a president that has the same moral clarity, a president not afraid to keep promises. You know, making Jerusalem the rightful capital of Israel was promised by so many others in the past, but never did we have a president with the courage to do it, to recognize a simple truth. The Golan Heights are Israel's. And that means so much in terms of the protection of this tiny, tiny country about the size of New Jersey. So, you know, the bottom line here is when we get to everything, this is a matter of choices. America's at a crossroads. The world is at a crossroads. Israel's at a crossroads. We as individuals are always at a crossroads in terms of choices and decisions we make and the consequences that will follow in any case. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of this extravaganza. All right, the real crisis at our border. It is now so bad. When you listen to the men and women on the ground, we will give you the truth. The coverage, the media will not. Also, the battle over, oh, well, maybe he obstructed anyway. Well, maybe there was collusion anyway. Well, Rudy Giuliani will put that to rest tonight. We have Tammy Bruce as well as Sean Spicer and Henry tonight. Hannity, 9 Eastern. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend. We will be back here on Monday.